Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years into teaching. The Maternity Benefit Act passed in 1961. Now the intention behind or the objective of this act is to protect the interest of women who actually has to take a break during their maternity period. Say pre-delivery and post-delivery, and there are some circumstances wherein their physical working capacity reduces over a period of time, and they have to be taken an extra care of during this period. So any ways they are participating in the workforce of an economy. So when we talk about workforce, it complies both of men and women. So we here are looking forward to retain this woman workforce for a longer period of time and contributing in the workforce. So there are some acts which are passed or which are regularly amended, wherein we are talking about Maternity Benefit Act. It is recently amended. There are a lot of variations made into this act within objective of retaining women into the workforce. The objective of the Maternity Benefit Act is, among other things, inter alia, to provide for maternity benefit to women workers in certain establishments. Now here we are talking about providing this maternity benefits to, definitely it is being given to women, but women working in certain establishments. Now which are the certain establishments? How do we define which are the establishments which will come under the coverage of this act? So the basic requirement of an establishment or the minimum number of workers to be employed in that establishment or unit is 10. So any establishment or unit who employs 10 or more workers in their unit or establishment are under the coverage of this act. So any woman working under those establishment, takes a break due to the maternity or delivery of a baby, has to be given all those benefits which are listed under this provision. To regulate the employment of women employees in such establishments for certain periods before and after childbirth. So it also takes care, some time before the childbirth and all those benefits which occur after the childbirth. The Maternity Benefit Act applies to every establishment, being a factory, mine, plantation or circus, and every shops in which 10 or more persons are employed. So it can be a unit or establishment in whatsoever business, that may be manufacturing, production, factories, then it may be a circus, it may be service industry, it may be plantation, mine, any industry. But the criteria here defined is minimum employment of 10 or more workers. To every shops or establishment defined under any law in a state in which person are employed on any day of the preceding 12 months. So here we are also covering all those shops and establishment which are regulated by the Shops and Establishment Act. And here again the criteria is hiring 10 or more people in the preceding 12 months. So any time in the preceding 12 months, if there are 10 or more than 10 employees working in that particular unit or establishment, will come under the coverage of this act. And that establishment or employer management are compulsion, there is a compulsion on them to provide all such benefits which are occurred due to maternity. It may be noted that the Maternity Benefit Act does not apply to employees who are covered under the provision of ESIC. ESI Act or Employee State Insurance Corporation provides many benefits and many other benefits are given by ESI. Not only leaves, but monetary benefits are also being given by ESI. So all those workers or all those female workers and employees who are covered under ESI will not be entitled to gain any further benefit from the management or employer, because whatever the management and employer are bounded to pay or give to the woman, you know, going on such a maternity break, is already being given by ESI, and that is a criteria under ESI, that is employee state insurance. So what are the criteria? Again, we have a look at it. First of all, it will be entitled to only female workers working in an establishment. Second, what all establishments will be covered under it? All types of industries, factories, mines, plantation, everything will be covered under the coverage of this act. Third, it has to employ minimum 10 or more employees. So wherever there are minimum 10 or more employees, the females working under such establishment will be entitled to such benefits. But only those females will be entitled to such benefits who are not covered under ESIC. Now, who all are those females, or who all are those women who are not covered under ESIC? So any woman who draws less than 15,000 of wages and salaries in a month, average wages in a month, will be covered under Maternity Benefit Act 1961. Because any employee who exceeds the remuneration of 15,000 are covered under ESIC, are not covered under ESIC. So all those women who are drawing salary or wages more than 15,000 will be covered under Maternity Benefit Act 1961, and all those females or women working under the remuneration, wages, average wages or salary below 15,000 are covered under ESIC, and so will not be entitled to Maternity Benefit Act. The Act was amended on May 1, 1976 to extend the benefit to all women employees earning more than the wage ceiling in establishment covered under ESIC Act. Now, here we are talking about some amendments which were made in the year 1976, wherein they have introduced with one more clause to imply this Maternity Benefit Act irrespective of whatsoever the industry is into, depending on the wage ceiling. That means a certain wage ceiling is being given under which if the woman falls, has to get the maternity benefit from the employer or the establishment or unit. A woman shall be entitled to maternity benefit only if she has actually worked in an establishment of the employer for a period of not less than 80 days. So when we are talking about eligibility criteria, who all shall be entitled to get the maternity benefit from the employer? So we have discussed several of them. That is, it should be, a woman first of all, and then should undergo such situations of maternity, and should not be covered under ESI, that is drawing more than 15,000 of wages and salaries. One more criteria defined here is say for example a female who has just joined the organization or establishment, and it is hardly a month, and now she declares that she wants to go on a maternity leave. So will she be eligible to get all those maternity benefit under this act or under this provision? So that would be decided first how many number of working days she has worked in an organization before entitling such leaves or benefits. So it should be minimum 80 days. 80 days in the 12 month immediately preceding the date of her expected delivery. So say for example the expected date of delivery given to that woman is say 1st June. So preceding to this 1st June till last June, minimum she should have worked 80 days in that particular organization. So the example that we have taken, wherein you know, the woman has recently joined and has completed hardly 30 days working, the 30 days only in the organization, then will she be entitled for such a benefit? Then the answer is no, because one of the criteria says minimum 80 days working, 80 days prior to 12 months of expected date of delivery. The employment of women or work by women in any establishment during the 6 weeks immediately following the day of her delivery or her miscarriage is prohibited. Now, here we are talking about employing any woman, hiring any woman who have just recently, you know, gone through a delivery or a miscarriage. So, minimum 1.5 months, that comes to 6 weeks. So minimum 1.5 months is not allowed for such women to go and work, because physically they are not capable enough, and if it is a case of miscarriage, she is even not mentally prepared to cope up with it. So the prescribed period of rest for such women is 1.5 months, that is 6 weeks. So it is being instructed to the employers also that not to hire any woman or not to employ any woman who has recently delivered a baby or has gone through a miscarriage, and the period given is 6 weeks. According to Section 5, right to payment of maternity benefit. Now, here we are talking about right to payment. So now, what payment is what payment are they talking? So now there are two cases. When we talk about ESI, that is Employee State Insurance, they take care of all the the maternity expenses and the wages that she needs to draw or during her leave and all. But here we are talking about those women who are not covered under ESI. Then what will be the calculation or the method or the process for the payment of maternity benefit? That means she has been given certain leaves, or she is entitled to take certain leaves, and those leaves are absolutely paid leaves. So first is, subject to the provision of this act, every woman shall be entitled to and her employer shall be liable for the payment of maternity benefit at the rate of the average daily weight. So when we are talking about average daily weight, what does this average daily wage means? So now, say for example, the expected delivery date given to a woman is 1st June. So prior to 1st June, we calculate 3 months wages of that woman, and we take out an average or dividing it by number of days worked in an establishment. We take an example. Now say for example, prior to going for a maternity leave, we calculate 3 months wages. So say for example, 1 month wages was 20,000, the another month's wages were 18,000. And again, the third month wages was around 20,000. So 20, 20, 40 and 18, it comes to 58,000. And out of this 3 months, that is say excluding 4 Sundays, 12, that is 90 days minus 12 days, that is 4 Sundays we calculate for each month. So 90 days minus we are deducting here 12 days. So it comes to around how many days? That is 78 days. So this total amount divided by 78 days, whatever the answer comes will become the average wage rate. So here we are calculating the average wage, and depending on the average wage, she will be paid for the maternity benefit payment. Average daily wage for the period of her actual absence. So now, whatever the average wage we have calculated is for the number of days she has worked. So we actually come to the actual per day average wage. So the per day average wage will be multiplied into her actual absence. Now, what is this absence? Absence on work due to maternity related purpose. That means it is allowed for a woman to remain absent someday prior to the expected date of delivery, and then after the delivery it is being given. It was being given 12 weeks earlier, but according to the amendment in the law, now it is being 24 weeks. So almost 6 months holiday is being given to that woman. Preceding the day of her delivery, the actual day of her delivery, and any period immediately following that. Again, section 5 over here, gives a criteria for the eligibility of any woman to be entitled to such maternity payment of maternity benefits. So, no woman shall be entitled to maternity benefit unless she has actually worked in an establishment of the employer from whom she claims maternity benefit for a period of not less than 80 days in the 12 months immediately preceding the date of her expected delivery. So already we have discussed this point in detail, that the minimum criteria to avail the maternity payment or benefit, payment of maternity benefit, is to work minimum 80 days, that is working days, 80 working days prior to 12 months of the expected date of delivery. The maximum period for which any woman shall be entitled to maternity benefit shall be 12 weeks. It was earlier, 12 weeks was earlier, but the amendment made in this act has increased this 12 weeks now to 24 weeks. So, the maximum period for which a woman shall be entitled the payment. The payment will be what we have discussed, average wage per day. So, here when we talk about say 24 weeks, the average daily wage rate in multiply the days. Okay, so that is maximum 24 weeks, of which not more than 6 weeks shall precede the date of her expected delivery. Now, as I have told you, that there may be some situations wherein there are some complications in the trimester. Now, when we talk about trimester, out of the 9 month pregnancy, the last 3 months starting from 7th, 8th, and 9th month, there may be some complications, and majority of the women's are being asked to take care of in the trimester, the last trimester. And there are also situations wherein there is a case of premature delivery that may happen in that last trimester. So some women may have to take rest, or are being advised to take rest, or there are any complications due to which she is forced to take rest and she is not able to come to work. So out of this 24 weeks which are being entitled to any woman, so she can take a maximum of 6 weeks before the expected date of delivery. That means she can go on leave. Her expected date of delivery, for example, say is 15th June. So say 15 days of June and 1 month of May, she can go on leave from say 1st May itself or 30th April itself. So it should not exceed 6 weeks. So say for example, still she had some complications since April 1st only. So she had to take 2.5 month leave prior to her date of delivery. So in that case, that 1 month will be totally voluntary decision of that particular employer whether to pay that woman, or it will be a leave without pay or whatsoever. But then only that 1.5 month, that is 6 weeks, will be considered under the maternity benefit and she will be paid accordingly. Section 5B, payment of maternity benefit in certain cases. Every woman who is employed in a factory or other establishment to which the provisions of the Employee State Insurance Act 1948 are applicable, whose wages excluding remuneration for overtime work for a month exceed the amount specified in subclause B of clause 9 of section 2 of that act, and who fulfills the condition specified in subsection 2 of section 5 shall be entitled to the payment of Maternity Benefit Act. So, all those three points A, B and C again are explaining us the eligibility criteria for any woman working in an establishment getting the maternity benefit from the employer. Section 6, notice of claim for maternity benefit and payment thereof. Any woman employed in an establishment and entitled to maternity benefit under the provision of this act may give notice in writing in such form as may be prescribed. That means when we talk about some other acts, you know, like minimum wage act. So, here the contract is, you know, not expressed, it is implied. What is the difference between express and implied? Express means, you know, you need to communicate, and implied means automatically it is being understood that a certain, you know, things have to be done. Now, when we talk about payment of wages, so, you know, the employee never has to communicate to the employer that, see, I have worked for so and so days in your organization and now I am liable to the wages. So, that is implied. The employer himself understands that when a worker or employee has worked for him, he is supposed to pay wages. But talking about this act, it is more of express because, you know, for the entitlement of the benefit, here the woman have to give notice and that too in writing in such form as may be prescribed. So, whatever the prescribed norms are under this act, she needs to give this notice in writing to his or her employer. To her employer stating that her maternity benefit and any other amount to which she may be entitled under this act may be paid to her or to such person as she may nominate in the notice, and that she will not work in any establishment during the period for which she receives maternity benefit. So, here there is one more clause wherein this maternity benefit will be entitled. So, first of all, she gives in writing a notice to her employer stating, you know, that she will be absent for so and so period. This is the expected date of delivery also. And then the benefits, whether be monetary in nature, will be given to her or maybe any person nominated by her. And she also, you know, comply to the rule saying that she won't be working in her absence to establishment in any other establishment. There may be cases, you know, wherein the woman takes the advantage of that leaves. She takes the leaves from one establishment and then she is entitled to all those monetary, non-monetary benefits from the employer in one establishment. And at the same time, when she is taking leave in one establishment, she starts working in some other establishment for a limited period of time. So, in this case, if it is found that such woman who has, you know, given a notice saying that regarding the absence during that maternity period and she is working somewhere else, her entire the maternity benefits may be forfeited. Section 7, payment of maternity benefit in case of death of a woman. Now, there may be certain complications during her delivery and you know, there may be certain situations wherein the woman itself doesn't survive and lead to death. So, in that case, all those benefits occurring out of the maternity benefit till the death of woman. So, there may be various cases, you know, there may be a case where woman and child both are alive. So, they will be entitled to, you know, maximum of 24 weeks and they will enjoy all the benefits coming out of this act. There may be one case when the woman has died and the child is alive. So, in that case, all those benefit will be given to the nominated person, as we have discussed earlier that in her notice she will mention the nomination. So in this case, when the case 2 where the woman has died and the child is alive, so in this case the benefits will be passed on to the nominated person. Now there may be some other case. In the other case, what has happened is on the date of delivery the woman has died. So till that particular date she died, the expense of maternity will be paid, or the benefits of the maternity will be paid to the nominated person. In other case, it may be that the child survived, but even, you know, after few days the child also dies. So in this case we also consider the date the death of the child, and we pay the benefit again to the nominated person. So in several situations you know, the time and the benefit may change accordingly. Under this act, dies before receiving such maternity benefit or amount, or where the employer is liable for maternity benefit under the second provision to subsection 3 of section 5, the employer shall pay such benefit or amount to the person nominated by the woman in the notice given under section 6, and in case there is no such nominee to her legal representatives. So in case in her notice she has not mentioned about any nominations, then in that case whoever were the legal representatives of that woman will be entitled to those benefits. Section 8 talks about payment of medical bonus. Now this medical bonus will be given to a woman under this act, shall also be entitled to receive from her employer a medical bonus of 250 rupees if no prenatal confinement and postnatal care is provided for by the employer free of charge. So this is totally situational based. Here the employer will be binded to pay a woman under this act rupees 250 only in case if he fails to provide any prenatal confinement and postnatal care. Leave for miscarriage. Now certain situations may lead to miscarriage, that is death of the fetus, maybe before delivery or after delivery, but then it is somewhere damaging the physical capacity of the woman. So in this case also the woman is entitled to certain benefits. What are those? In case of miscarriage or medical termination of pregnancy, so there may be two cases. In one case, there were no complications as such to the woman, but then the fetus could not survive and it leads to miscarriage. Or otherwise, you know, over a period of time, it is being observed that it may be, not so good for carrying on this pregnancy, may lead to death of a woman. So in this case, the termination of pregnancy is being done. So both the cases, a woman shall, on production of such proof as may be prescribed, be entitled to leave with wages at the rate of maternity benefit. At the rate of maternity benefit is equal to the average wage which we have calculated, for a period of 6 weeks immediately following the day of her miscarriage, or as the case may be, her medical termination of pregnancy. So in this case she will not be entitled to the full leaves which are being entitled for the woman who is actually delivering a baby. So here the number of weeks will reduce to 6 weeks. Leave with wages for tubectomy operations. Now these type of operation, or when we talk about tubectomy operation, these operation is generally carried out for women who could not conceive because of a blockage in the tube wherein the eggs are being released. So there is a blockage and these eggs are being not released, and because of this she is not able to, after that she will not be able to conceive. So you know, that is a tool for birth control. So whenever you know a woman decides after her delivery, she decides to go for this operation, which will actually create a blockage in her tube so that the eggs are not released and she won't conceive in future. So these type of operations are being motivated because there should be no unnecessary rise in population. So because of this reason also, there are some implementations related to this particular operation, that for this operation some leaves should be given. In case of tubectomy operations, a woman shall not production of such proof as may be prescribed be entitled to leave with wages at the rate of maternity benefit for a period of 2 weeks immediately following the day of her operation. Leave for illness arising out of pregnancy, delivery, premature birth of child, or it may be a miscarriage, medical termination of pregnancy, or the tubectomy operations. A woman suffering from illness arising out of pregnancy, delivery, premature birth, etc., shall on production of such proof as may be prescribed be entitled, in addition to the period of absence allowed to her under section 6 or as the case may be under section 9, to leave with wages at the rate of maternity benefit for a maximum period of 1 month. Nursing breaks. So this particular section talks about nursing breaks, which will be given to a woman who returns back to the workplace after enjoying all her leaves with her baby. So now it is being observed that the initial, you know, years wherein, you know, the child has not yet completed 18 months, it is being suggested that the child needs special care by her mother. So in that case, every mother should be entitled to certain breaks in between, wherein she can feed her child. So that are being called as nursing breaks. Every woman delivered of a child who returns to duty after such delivery shall, in addition to the interval for rest. Now the point to be taken care of is, we are not talking about the regular breaks. The regular breaks which are being given, you know, the lunch breaks and rest breaks, we are not talking about those breaks. These nursing breaks are over and above those breaks which are already provided to any woman or any employee working in the unit. Be allowed in the course of her daily work 2 breaks of the prescribed duration. Now, what is the prescribed duration is not yet defined here, but then she will be allowed maximum of 2 breaks in a day for nursing the child until the child attains the age of 15 months. Section 12, dismissal during absence of pregnancy. When a woman absent herself from work in accordance with the provision of this act, it shall be unlawful for her employer to discharge or dismiss her during or on account of such absence, or to give notice of discharge or dismissal on any such day that the notice will expire during such absence, or to vary to her disadvantage any of the conditions of her service. Now, here basically to understand it very easily, we are only talking about no employer shall be in a position to dismiss or remove that particular woman who is supposed to go and who is supposed to entitle the maternity benefits from the employer during the absence period. That means she has now entitled for the leave after the delivery. So in that period, he will not dismiss any of the women. If he does so, that is unlawful in nature. Nor any such notices will be released, which is expired on the day when her maternity breaks are going to start. The discharge or dismissal of a woman at any time during her pregnancy, if the woman but for such discharge or dismissal would have been entitled to maternity benefit or medical bonus referred to in section 8, shall not have the effect of depriving her of the maternity benefit or medical bonus. Here we are talking about those women who have not yet, gone on her leave. But during the pregnancy itself, she got dismissed due to whatsoever reason. But in that case, she will not be deprived of the medical bonuses and maternity benefit. She will be still entitled to those benefits. Appointment of inspectors, as we know, for every act, for every law to be implemented in an establishment and unit, we always have a control mechanism in a form of inspectors or inspecting committees, and they will regularly, on regular intervals, they will visit the unit's establishment, they will check the records, they will check the registers, and they may also take personal interviews of the employees, workers in the establishment, and gain some information. So similarly, in this act also, appointment of inspectors are being done by the appropriate government, who will be responsible to implement or to check whether the implementation of such act is being done or carried out by the establishment's units who are covered under this act or not. The appropriate government may, by notification in the official gazette, appoint such officers as it thinks fit to be inspectors for the purpose of this act, and may define the local limits of the jurisdiction within which they shall exercise their function under this act. Penalty for contravening of act by employer. In case any employer, who comes under the purview of this act and but still not following or implementing such provisions, what will be the penalty for that? If any employer fails to pay any amount of maternity benefit to a woman who is entitled under this act, or discharges or dismisses such woman during or account of her absence, which is unlawful as we have discussed, from work in accordance with the provision of this act, he shall be punishable with imprisonment. So here we are not only talking about the monetary penalty, but yes, that may be imprisonment as well, which shall not be less than 3 months, but which may extend to 1 year, and with fine which shall not be less than 2,000 rupees, but which may extend to 5,000 rupees. So when it comes to imprisonment, minimum at that can go to 3 months to 1 year, and when we talk about the monetary fine penalty, that may be from 2,000 to 5,000. So your, the law or the act which is being passed is trying to protect the interest of those women who actually go for maternity breaks and who wants to return back to work, but then such nursing breaks will help them to take care of their small born child, and also when we are talking about, the workers working in such establishment can also cope up with their expenses, because during this time there are a lot of medical expenses. And then if the wages or the salaries also are deducted, then they will have a double loss of this. So somewhere, it is an act which is trying help women to participate in the workforce, as well as they can continue in the workforce after their maternity breaks also. Thank you very much.